all I once held dear, built my life upon. All this world reveres and wars to own. All I once thought gained, I now count it lost. Spent and worthless now compared to this. No. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness.
Shabbat Shalom. One of my guiding pieces of scripture comes from the Sefer Yochanan, the book of Yochanan, the book of John. In chapter 14, verse 1, we read, "Don't let yourselves be disturbed. Trust in God and trust in me." Why amongst all the verses of scripture does this one stand out for me? Simply, for me, this is a foundational truth underpinning my relationship with Adonai Yeshua. Don't let yourselves be disturbed. What a powerful message. In these five words are contained the essence, of how he wishes us to trust him. Abba Bishamayim, I pray that our hearts and our minds will be open to your teaching this day. May we take your teaching and turn it into action that will glorify your name, that will lift up your name amongst all peoples. B'shem Yeshua Moshichenu. Amen. Before I continue, it is important for me to share with you the lens I'm using when I read scripture. My lens is active, not passive. When Yahweh God asks me to trust, he wants me to step out in trust of him, not doubting, not questioning, not worrying. When Yahweh told Abraham to leave his father's house, as we read in Genesis 12:1, Abraham left. He didn't negotiate with God, as others did when told to leave, as we read in Luke 9:61, or the one who wished to bury his father's bones, found in Matthew 8:21. Abraham didn't lament the reality he had to give up his family's wealth and bring only what he had accumulated as a young married man, as did the young legal expert in Mark 10:17 to 22. When our great God, Eloheinu Gadol, asks us to go forth for him, what is it that allows us to move forward with confidence, knowing he has only our best interests in mind and speaks to us through and in love? Certainly his testament in John 14:1 assures us of this. Trust in God and trust in me. However, there is an even more compelling rationale than this. If you have your Bibles with you, turn please to John 14:6, or observe the screen. I am the way and the truth and the life. And stay there for a while, please. Why is this statement so foundational? First, let's examine the meaning of the words presented to us. I am. What a profound statement. We first hear this in Exodus 3:14, when Yahweh says to Moses, Echye asher echye, which means I am, will be what I am, will be. This understanding was repeated by Adonai Yeshua when he announced for the first time he was Almighty God, as we read in John 8:58. Yes, indeed, before Abraham came into being, I am. What is he proclaiming? Is he assuming authority and power which does not belong to him? Hardly. Many centuries before, the words of Isaiah 9:5 rang clearly. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, dominion will rest on his shoulders, and he will be given the name Pele Yoetz, El Gibor, Avi Ad, Zar Shalom. In case you do not understand the Hebrew, these words mean Pele Yoetz, wonder of a counselor, El Gibor, mighty God, Avi Ad, father of eternity, Zar Shalom, prince of peace. Are we able to think of a more powerful statement of authority than this? I certainly can't. And so I come to the conclusion he existed before time and will exist after time. He is Yahweh, God himself. Then we come to the proclamation, I am the way. Only Yahweh is the way to eternal life. No religion, even rabbinic Judaism, provides a path towards eternity which comes from grace alone, through our walking out in trust. Islam, Hinduism, Sikhism, Zoroastrianism, Shinto, Taoism, and native spirituality do not provide a way to an eternal relationship with the ruler of the universe and the lover of our souls. Christians and messianic believers have been charged with being exclusive and not inclusive. Well, the charge is accurate and inaccurate at the same time. Yes, no other religion or spirituality lays claim to this truth, even though there are billions who assert all roads meet at the top of the mountain. They don't. However, this exclusivity is tempered with the understanding no one is refused if they truly wish to turn to Yahweh, renounce their reliance on the world or the flesh, and follow his life instructions. Unfortunately, many Christians assume this exclusivity to mean we must hate all those who believe differently than do we. This is not the case. As Adonai Yeshua clearly proclaimed in Matthew 5, verse 44, but I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. We, believers of the Holy God, while recognizing our faith is intolerant of sin, embrace sinners, even the most vile, with the desire to help them reject their lives and lifestyles of sin and come freely to worship the living God. I've heard it said, the church is evil because it has rejected Torah and its Hebraic roots. This is a very dangerous position to take. Why, my dear friends? This is not our judgment to make. Only Adonai Elohim has the authority to make that judgment. Those of us who make this and similar judgment against our fellows will be judged for that. And if we utter those comments, there will be consequences. Listen to Adonai Yeshua's words in Matthew 7, verses 1 to 5. Don't judge, so that you won't be judged. For the way you judge others is how you will be judged. The measure with which you measure out will be used to measure to you. Why do you see the splinter in your brother's eye, but not notice the log in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the splinter out of your eye, when you have the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly so that you can remove the splinter from your brother's eye. Clearly, this is both a command and a caution. The third of Adonai Yeshua's pronouncements, I am the truth, really does not need unpacking. However, there may be understandings here which need to be unraveled and exposed. What does it mean for our Messiah to be the truth? Notice he did not say, I am a truth, but the truth. The use of the definite article the is vital in our understanding. First, by claiming he is the way, he is clearly telling his disciples, those of the first and 21st century, he is God himself. Why is this important to know? Well, if he is not God, then Adonai Yeshua is either insane or an imposter, attempting to deliberately deceive us. Because if he was not God, it wouldn't matter how righteous a man he was, he would not be the perfect lamb, the perfect sacrificial lamb. The only way he could occupy this role is by being the incarnate God himself.
I sing to you with all my will my lips sing praises to your name. Dance, dance, dance to the Lord. I lift my hands to you with all my strength. Will I leap and in your presence dance?
P.T. Barnum, the famous American showman and businessman, is reported to have said, "You can fool some of the people all of the time. You can fool all of the people some of the time. But you can never fool all of the people all of the time." Whether he did say that or not is irrelevant. What is important is the concept. For almost 2,000 years, there have been billions of people who have accepted Adonai Yeshua as God. This belief could not have been sustained throughout the ages without it being the truth. In Job 42, we read the following: "Who is this hiding counsel without having knowledge? Yes, I spoke without understanding of wonders far beyond me, which I didn't know. Please listen, and I will speak. You said, I will ask questions, and you give me answers. I had heard about you with my ears, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I detest myself and repent in dust and ashes." Human beings have the capacity to create many understandings within their own minds, many of which, although they belong in the realm of fantasy, are believed to be truth. However, in doing so, they have placed Yahweh into a box. They have fashioned the ruler of the universe into their own image. Please do not misunderstand me. I'm not saying these people have created a different religion. What I am saying is they have fashioned an image of God and Adonai Yeshua in what they believe is an upright Christian understanding. However, what is required to receive a fuller, more complete image of our Messiah, the lover of our souls, is revelation. So many of us, when we argue dogma, which is more often than not a creation of man, via interpretation of Scripture through a denominational lens, take the position without question, this or that is the truth, without first taking this to Him in prayer to help us receive His truth. By clinging dogmatically to their truth, They display a lack of desire to be open to different understandings and to show their goal is to be right. Only through yielding our own desires to Him will the Holy Spirit of the living God reveal to us His, the truth. When we read Scripture, He will reveal to us the truth hidden within and sometimes between and beneath the words. But this will only happen if we signal to Him we are open to being taught and not holding stubbornly to and defending vigorously our own fabricated knowledge. The fourth understanding found in John 14:6, I am the life, does have a fascinating meaning beyond the obvious. I have shared with you before, Scripture may be read at different levels. The literal level of reading, which is where we must always begin our studies. The metaphorical level of meaning, the way of teaching our Messiah used in his parables, which often requires some unpacking through the Hebraic images they employ. The practical level, which gives us instructions for living the way he intended us to live, and the level of mystery, which may be revealed to us through the work of the Holy Spirit of the living God. The understanding of Adonai Yeshua being the life may be read at these four levels of meaning. First, this statement clearly tells us he is the source of life. He is God himself, and he is the one who created us and our world. This is the literal level of meaning. Then we have the metaphorical level. When Adonai Yeshua tells us he is the life, he is sharing with us the truth. Eternal life comes from and through him and no other. Without him, there is only darkness and despair. However, if we are immersed in darkness and despair, never having seen the light of his truth, we do not know what we have been missing. Listen to his testimony as read in John 8. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light which gives life. Adonai Yeshua's meaning is quite clear. Whoever steps out and walks along my way, my path, and receives the truth I reveal to him, to these I will give life. The key element in this passage is the phrase, follows me. There is the necessity of action in our relationship with him. This is not a passive relationship. It is a dynamic one, filled with trust and joyful obedience. This is the practical application level of his statement. And then we have the concluding statement in John 14:6. No one comes to the Father except through me. For those who cling to the lie, all roads lead to the top of the mountain, meaning there are many, many ways to reach God and eternal life. This scriptural passage screams of arrogance and foolishness. How is it possible for Adonai Yeshua to be the only gate through which to receive grace and the promise of salvation? Here is the mystery. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, must be read within the context of John 1. Let's read a portion of this beautiful entry into the Gospel of Yohanan. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing made had being. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. Unpacking this understanding is a fascinating journey all by itself. I will attempt to be as brief as possible without compromising the truth contained in these revelations. The use of word in these verses was not accidental. In the Aramaic of everyday language of Israel in the first century, word is translated as memra, a manifestation of the divine power and a messenger in place of God himself. When we examine the Greek word for word, which John would have used, we find it to be logos, meaning the word of God or principle of divine reason. Thus, what we may read, substituting Adonai Yeshua for word, is, in the beginning was Adonai Yeshua, and Adonai Yeshua was with God, and Adonai Yeshua was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing made had being. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. This, then, creates the context for John 14:6. There is no other way to eternal life but through creating a relationship with Adonai Yeshua, the mighty God himself. How do we do this? We come before him in prayer, confessing our sins, asking him to forgive us, and inviting him into our lives. If you have not yet made this commitment to turn your life around and step forward in trust of his love for you, there is no better time than right now. Please join me in the following prayer, which you may say aloud or silently in your heart. He will hear you clearly. Dear Adonai Yeshua, Almighty God and Father of eternity, I am tired of living a life of sin, a life based on my own strength and not on yours. Please clean my heart of all the sins I have committed, for I repent of having turned away from you, and now I wish to return and begin a loving relationship with you, the ruler of the universe and the lover of my soul. Fill me with your spirit, I pray, and fashion me, transform me into a new person. In your beloved name I pray. Thank you.